Before we get started, just a quick note to say that some of the names in this podcast have been changed to protect their identities, but the stories you are about to hear are very real indeed. Please check the episode show notes for trigger warnings, as listener discretion is advised. If you would like to be a part of our now award-winning podcast, we would love to hear from you. Do get in touch with your stories, affair@curvemedia.com. Welcome to the Affair Podcast. I'm Anna Williamson. Now, if you don't know me, I'm a relationship therapist, coach, and TV personality. Now, this podcast will unveil the secrets behind modern day affairs as we explore everything from emotional affairs to rebuilding trust after betrayal. One in five people have admitted to having an affair, but it's a topic that is rarely explored and remains taboo because it sparks such powerful emotions and judgments. Each episode features a different real-life affair story told by the people involved and offers insights into the emotions, causes, and consequences of infidelity in today's world. From the motivations behind affairs to the impact on relationships, we'll uncover the raw truth behind one of the most painful aspects of human relationships. So, without further ado, let's meet today's guest. Robin, welcome to the Affair Podcast. Thank you for coming on today.
Hi.
Okay, how are you feeling? You look nervous.
I am a little bit nervous.
Okay. Well, look, you're in safe hands, and I can see that and I can hear that. And I'm truly very grateful that you are here with me now, talking through something which I absolutely know is deeply personal and will no doubt carry a lot of emotion and thought. But to reiterate to you, you're here in a safe space, non-judgmental space with me, and thank you. So Robin, what made you want to come on The Affair?
So I listened to the podcast, and listening through to series two, I thought I hadn't heard my story yet. So I'd heard a lot of stories on there, a lot of perspectives, but not mine. And I know there's more people like me out there, and I thought I wanted to tell my story.
When it comes to infidelity, what role have you taken in that?
So I was the person having an affair.
You were the person having the affair. Yes. Were you the other person, or were you also married?
So I was also married or in relationship. So I've not been in a relationship where I have been faithful.
Okay. Well, that's brutally honest. And thank you for saying that. How does that feel saying out loud?
It's hard because there's part of me that understands that upset of other people and why people get upset, and then there's part of me that thinks monogamy is a little bit outdated.
Okay.
And I do have that thing where I can completely cut off love from sex. Mm-hmm. So I am very torn with my feelings
within relationships, or your feelings on discussing it
in relationships. Yeah, because when you get in a relationship, it is very monogamous, and it's very, you're with one person, and that's hard for me.
Mm-hmm. And when did you that's quite the statement, isn't it, that no relationship you've been in has been or shall I rephrase that, every relationship you've been in you have been unfaithful. What age were you when you started getting into relationship, like with your first relationship, and how old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
So my first relationship, I was 15, and I am now 45.
Okay. Can I ask you about that first relationship at 15? Who was that with, and what was that like?
So it wasn't a great relationship. So we were together until we were 20. Well, I was 20, he was 22. I wanted out of the relationship for a long time, but didn't know how to. So it was my first relationship, and I didn't know how to end it. So I cheated on him as a reason to end that relationship. So that was in my mind. I was like, people don't forgive cheating. They don't get over it. So it's my get out of this relationship card. And then I didn't feel guilty.
So just so I'm clear, so that it was an active choice to cheat. And by cheating, let's just be clear on what we mean by that in this context, to have sex with another person.
Yes.
Because there's many different forms of cheating, depending on, you know, how people place value on it themselves and their own judgment systems. And this person, were you sexually attracted to them? Did you want to have sex with them? Or was it purely a means of a way out?
It was somebody that I wanted to have sex with. So it was he was a childhood crush of mine. He was my first crush when I was 11. I bumped into him on a night out and I wanted to do it.
And without sounding too like poking too much of my nose into it, but there's a reason I ask these questions. Was it an act that you enjoyed?
No.
Okay. May I ask why not?
It just wasn't very good.
As in the actual sex?
Yes.
Okay. Now that's really interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of people often, seek physical intimacy elsewhere for the thrill. But for you, was any of that there?
No. So it was like the thrill was there about doing it. So going back to his, the kissing.
So the anticipation was all there.
Yeah. So all that anticipation, the build up, you know, this person that I had a crush on when I was 11, it was exciting. And then the act itself was just really disappointing.
That's often the way, actually. And we know with infidelity and affairs, just, and also, well, particularly, I was going to say sex in general, but not necessarily, but the anticipation, the build up is almost always more enticing, more exciting. The desire, because all of those feel good hormones are just firing on all cylinders. And then often, so it's the anticipation is always the sexy part, sexier part. And then, you know, some people do have great sex, you know, so it's the most mind-blowing sex of their lives. But equally, a lot of people say, like yourself, actually, it was a bit of a letdown. And the act itself was not half as exciting as the build up to it and the anticipation and the sexting and the, you know, what's going to happen. You know, all of that unknown is what drives and fuels the desire of having sort of, inverted commas, forbidden sex. And was this with the person that was available?
Yes, they were single.
So what happened then? So you had this affair, you got out of this relationship, sounds like it was relief all round, pretty underwhelming sex, but it happened. And then what happened? So you were then, I take it, single and yes. Not wanting to continue with this person, or were you?
No, so not at all. I didn't want to see him again. I was single for the first time. And then that's when I started sort of going out to the pub a bit, and I met my ex-husband and we just started talking, hit it off, and then kind of the rest was history. We were together from then.
In a monogamous relationship? Because you started the podcast saying that you feel that monogamy is a little outdated. Did you feel like that then at that time?
Yes. I knew that monogamy was viewed as the right thing to do. So it was a time that isn't as open as it is now.
Mm-hmm. And that's a fair point. That's a fair, because how long ago was that? What, 20 years?
Yeah, so
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And then I also was told that this is what you do. So you get married, you have children. And I didn't want children at all. And that was already viewed as a big thing, like a big curveball, because women just had children at that time.
Who told you, was that down to any particular family values or pressure, or was that just society you felt?
Everyone, society, so family, friends, the whole you'll change your mind. You know, we got married when I was 23, which I appreciate now. Being older, that was so young to get married, and we were kind of in and out of each other's pockets. But because I had been in a relationship so young previous to him, I hadn't lived, so we spent a lot of time together partying, taking drugs, drinking, not really having a relationship. It was almost like we were just living our best lives together and not growing up together.
Did you love each other? Was it physically intimate?
So, yes to both. Again, I seem to pick them, but he had a lot of mental health issues. And that affected the relationship. So that is when I started another affair. So this time it was a long-term one whilst we were married.
So how soon into, so you say your husband then had mental health issues. And can I just ask how that characterised, how that affected your relationship with each other? Did you feel connected or tell me?
So he, we were connected. He is the most cleverest person I've ever met. And, you know, would still say that now. We're still friends now. We don't hate each other at all. He had his demons though, and again, it never affected me. It did affect me, but it was never towards me. He tried to seek help for it. They told him he was a functional alcoholic and they couldn't help him because he didn't want to stop. But when he drank, he got really, really dark.
Within the relationship, were you close? Were you, it sounds as though you were having to care for him more than you emotionally. Would that be true? I don't want to assume.
Absolutely. He was hard work. So he was a nurse, he worked full time. And he could tailor his drinking to enough hours before he started work that he could go to work fine. So he really was functional. But then he'd come home, have a drink. Yeah, so I had to look after him, the household.
And the burden was on you. Were you sexually intimate?
Yes.
Were you satisfied in this relationship?
No. But I think that's because I'd just gone from one bad relationship to another. I wanted a partner, somebody that would put in what I put in. Not necessarily financially, but, you know, supportive, help around the house, things like that. But his life revolved around going to work and drinking.
Before we move on to, I'm just painting a picture as to what might have been motivating you, essentially, to wanting to plug the gaps that weren't being plugged. What made you stay in the marriage and not just walk away?
I was worried for his safety and his welfare. I thought if I left, he would die.
Which is not to be underestimated. And it's very, very difficult for couples when somebody is mentally unwell and a partner's having to support. And there's a real fine line, isn't there, between putting that oxygen mask on first. So I don't, as much as I have complete empathy for both of you, I don't underestimate the complexities that would have been going on within that. And I hear a lot from the partner who is supporting somebody who is unwell, physically or mentally, the pressure that they feel, the guilt they often feel too, and indeed needing an outlet and a release, which may or may not have been going on in your head for why you just said that you then decided to embark on an affair, which was a long one. So bring us into that. How did that come about?
So the first long-term affair that I had was work-related. So I met them at work. They were my boss. I was a manager as well, so it wasn't as bad as it sounds. And we had a lot of the same interests and we started going out together just for a quick drink after work. And then I guess one thing led to another.
And was he married?
He was in a long-term relationship.
Okay. So both of you were, and did both of you know that about the other?
Yes.
Okay. So one thing led to another and you just wanting to be completely, just so we're all on the same page, you started a sexual relationship?
Yes.
Okay. So can I ask, how did that actually like come about? Like, were you, because I'm assuming neither of you could go to each other's homes. Like, where would this take place and how often? And what was the nature of this relationship? Was it just sexual or was there anything else at play?
So he didn't live with his partner, so he had been with his partner for, I think, 14 years, but for some reason they didn't live together. So it would mainly take place at his house. So it started, we went for a quick drink after work, and then he said, "Oh, I've got a bottle of wine at mine. Do you want to come and have a glass of wine?" And that's kind of where it started, you know, in his house. If his girlfriend was ever staying at his, she would stay at his for a period of time. We would book a hotel if we needed to. And it was, he would say he was on a work trip or whatever was needed. It just started out as physical. And then we did get feelings for each other. But nothing came of that because we didn't trust each other.
In what way?
We had both started it being in other relationships.
That's so interesting. So the thing that brought you together actually ultimately became the thing that made you realize you couldn't continue this long term. Did you both discuss the fact that you were in relationships, either of you? And what was the communication like between you both?
The communication was really good. It was, "I'm not leaving my partner, I'm not leaving my partner." Both of us had said that. We both agreed on what it was and what it was going to be. He actually became single before I did.
Do you know why? Did she find out?
I think she had an inkling. I was still with my husband and I was still seeking other affairs as well.
Okay, well, that's an important pivot point, I think. So you're in your long-term marriage, but I think we've all established that, you know, this was something that there were a lot of challenges there. You know, I'm not judging on, there's no finger pointing here on, you know, whatever. It is what it is, right? And for whatever reason, you decided you went into affair. Before we move on, because you said there were other people, what was this particular affair giving you?
Companionship, someone that would come out with me, that would spend time with me, and good sex as well.
Okay, so sort of everything that you weren't getting at home, you were getting in somebody else. Was there any element of the fact that this person was someone you could, you know, pick up and drop as you will? Was there anything around that that was appealing?
Yeah, so there was no pressure at all. So if I wanted to see him, I could. If I didn't, I didn't. There was no pressure. There was no ties. And when I did see him, it was to do something that was good.
I was going to say, so yeah, I can really, I'm trying to get into your head now. As you say, yeah, life sounds like it's pretty tough. But then without any pressure, it's within your control. I think there's a big word there to use. You could pick up and leave something that ultimately made you feel good. Was there ever any concern that your husband might find out?
No.
Why? Why so sure?
Because he knew we were friends. He knew that we worked together and he just had no suspicions at all. I think he was too busy dealing with whatever was in his own head to think that I would be doing anything. He knew, like, we worked together. So it was, if I'd say, "Oh, we're going out for a drink," it'd just be like, "All right, have fun."
When you were, you know, having this affair and having sex, you know, with this other guy, did you ever feel any guilt?
No.
It's curious. Do you know why? Did you switch off from it? Or I'm just curious to know why.
So this probably pivots to other affairs that I've had.
Yes.
I think this one particular person was slightly different because I do think he's the only person I've really, well, the only male that I've really loved.
So you did get real feelings for him then?
Yeah. But any other affair I've had, I've got a complete switch. I can just turn off my emotions.
Okay. So with regards to this affair then, so it sounds like there were, well, you just said you'd fallen in love with him, but you couldn't trust him. So, and he couldn't trust you. So with regards to an actual committed relationship, it was off the table. So was it around this time then that you started to seek other partners?
Yeah, because I knew that I wanted an affair. I wanted the excitement and the non-committal aspect, but I wanted it to be someone that I had zero feelings for.
So did that finish, or were you then see, because it sounds as though the affair that you had started to become actually a relationship, because there it was multi-layered with feelings, sexual intimacy, and actually it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this had then lost the appeal of being an affair, which is typically it's the desire that drives that. And some people seek affairs for emotional connections. Some people seek it just for physical. And what's really interesting is that you had said within your marriage, you were getting no emotional support, but yet you're framing the desire around an affair, a physical one. So I think what's really interesting with you, Robin, is that at some point you'd become very aware of the control that you felt was important for you to have around your feelings, around switching them on, because it sounds like in a lot of your relationships to date, you hadn't had any control. You'd been with men up to this point that had not been meeting you even, you know, halfway when it came to connection, support, and everything else in between. So I think it's really interesting, without going into like 8 weeks of, you know, psychodynamics, I think it's very interesting that I think you were using your ability to either switch in to emotional or out or off or into physical and off as a form of self-protection and of control, because lots of your life had been out of control. Would that be a fair analysis?
Absolutely. And also just to echo back to something that you said before about people having, you know, craving chocolate, or I would always say that around that time my vice was sex and sleeping with people. Mm-hmm. So I used that. It was like, oh, I don't drink anymore, I don't take drugs anymore, I don't smoke, but I do have sex.
Right, because what does sex give you?
A high.
Exactly. And a lot of people, I'm not saying you had a sex addiction at all, but a lot of people have a sex addiction because exactly that. Mm-hmm. They're craving that high. And those hormones are powerful when they get, you know, get going. And there are many people that are, you know, serial cheaters because they are constantly chasing the high, chasing the addiction. You know, of all of that wonderful, you know, cocktail of excitement and adrenaline, which just feels so goddamn good. And the minute that starts to wane, this minute that starts to sort of turn into something else, the excitement wears off. We then go, right, I need to pivot. I need to find the next fix. So that's what it sounds like was happening for you. And what, so you wanted that. And sex, when you say it gave you that high, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but just how I'm feeling, what it's coming through to me is that you were, so many areas of your life you weren't feeling in control, and you possibly weren't feeling, full stop, that this was a part of your life that was in your control, because you were actioning it, you were seeking it, and at the end of it, it was giving you a very physical reward, i.e. an orgasm. Would that be a fair thing to say?
Yeah, so in addition to that, so that's absolutely fair. There was the thrill of not being caught as well, so sneaking around and arranging and not being caught or even suspected, and sat there of an evening watching telly thinking, I know what I've been doing today, and you've been at work. And there was that, you know, that thrill with that as well.
Got it. So this affair, the one where you caught feelings for, did that stop, or and then you moved on to seeking out other affairs, or did that continue alongside?
It continued alongside.
And did your affair person know that you were also seeking extra sex outside of that?
No.
Curious, why not tell him?
I like to put things in boxes. So, and I like to keep everything. I'm quite a private person, and I like to keep things private and sectioned off. And I just thought it's none of his business, really. I don't know if he was seeing other people. I didn't want to know. That was my business and not his.
Right, okay. So how were you finding other people to have affairs with or have sex with?
Online, there was websites that were set up very much tailored for affair only. So not relationship websites. And
can you talk us through that? Because I know lots of people will be listening to this, hopefully not getting any ideas, but I think for anyone that hasn't done that, I haven't myself actually gone through the actual motions. I'm aware of them, but can you describe what that is like? You know, are there different, you know, privacy controls or security controls? Because by the very notion of people seeking out an affair, I would be worried that I would be caught out, though. So, I mean, what is that process like?
So it's very much like signing up for a social media website, I guess. You input all your information. You say what you're looking for. You can upload a photo, but it doesn't have to be of you. It could be just really of anything. And then there is sort of strict controls within some of those sites where you don't exchange photos until you do it at the same time to make sure that you don't know each other or you don't know mutual people. And then you fill in the physical and the what you're after. So sort of in my biography, it would state that I was looking for an affair, no strings. I would prefer that they were married themselves because that adds a layer of security. And then I widened my search from the area that I lived to try and ensure that it was a stranger and not somebody that I would know or that would know somebody that I would know.
That's so interesting. Thank you for sharing that. I want to ask a question as well. So when you say part of your selection process was someone else that was married, was there any thoughts or consideration around their spouse, or did that just not enter your question, enter your mind, sorry?
No consideration at all. My mindset was if they were on that website, they were already looking for an affair or potentially already cheated anyway. And that if I were to meet them and we would have sex, then that's their problem, not mine.
Okay. So through this, looking on websites, you were matched with people?
Yeah. So it was, it's going to sound terrible, but it was like a kid in a candy shop because the percentage of women on these websites is much smaller than the percentage of men. So it was almost like there was too much choice. I think there was only sort of 10% of women on there. I had rules about the kind of people that I wanted to meet. So even though it was a website for sexual relations, I didn't want people to try and hit me with sex talk. It was an instant turn off. I didn't want inappropriate pictures. And I always met them for a coffee first. That was my rule. So somewhere public, a coffee, we'll have a chat. If we get on, then we'll move to the next stage.
So may I ask what some of these encounters were like? You know, who were these people? Where did you go? What did you do? Were they all very different? And how many?
So I had one that I had an affair with for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And I met him quite early on. And again, this is going to sound awful, but I feel lucky that I met him quite early on. So I didn't have to encounter the other types of people that I met. There were some choice characters on there. I met one person for coffee and he professed his love the next day.
Gosh. How did you respond to that?
I just cut it off.
Right, right.
I just said, look, I don't think you're seeking an affair. I think you're seeking something else. Let's call it a day. I met someone that thought they wanted an affair and then cried. And in those situations, I almost felt happy for them that they'd come to that conclusion. It was like, at least you know now and you've not done anything.
And at any point did you, when you were meeting these guys, so I mean, I'm assuming amongst some of the ones that didn't work out, there were, I mean, you say you got into a 10-year relationship with one of them, but were there multiple guys all at the same time, or would you tend to stick to one person for a while and then move it on to someone else?
So when I was first meeting them, there was multiple, but it didn't go any further than coffee or a kiss. When I met the person that was the 10-year affair, he ticked all the boxes, so we both closed our profiles down.
So how on earth do you have a 10-year affair with somebody without getting caught?
Around work time. So if I had a day off, you would take an extra long break or go for a meeting, so it was daytime. That it would happen, or if his wife was away for work, we could meet up. And through that affair, we became friends. He had children and he got a dog, and, you know, I was really happy for him.
This is an advertisement for BetterHelp. You know, the days are getting shorter again, the light fades earlier, and somehow so do our routines. It's easy to drift apart with our loved ones, to forget to check in on those we care about. But it doesn't take much to brighten someone's day. Maybe it's calling your mum, posting a letter to a relative, or meeting a friend you haven't seen in ages for a coffee. Those little moments of connection remind us that we're not alone. And just like reaching out to someone you care about, reaching out for therapy can remind us that we're not alone too. With BetterHelp, you're matched to a qualified therapist who fits your needs, so you can focus on feeling better, not spending hours searching for the right help. With over 30,000 licensed therapists worldwide and more than 5 million people helped, BetterHelp makes therapy simple, secure, and supportive. Because once you take that step, whether it's sending that message or starting therapy, you'll probably find yourself thinking, why didn't I do this sooner? This month, don't wait to reach out. Whether you're checking in on a friend or reaching out to a therapist yourself, BetterHelp makes it easier to take that first step. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/affair. That's betterhelp.com/affair.
So you didn't fall in love with him?
Not at all, not even slightly.
So what was it that he was giving you in that relationship?
Really good sex. And we had very similar interests, so we'd have a bit of a chat, check up on each other, and that was it, really. I might not speak to him for, you know, weeks on end, but then it'd be like, hey, are you free this day, etc. It was that thrill and excitement, again, of getting away with it and just someone that could fulfill my needs, and that there was no ties to or no emotions. We were both very cut and dry again with, this is exactly what this is and it won't be anything else.
Did you ever feel anything towards his wife?
Absolutely nothing.
And is that because you completely just kept her out of your sort of, you know, mind's eye, or you just didn't want to go there, or you just generally, there wasn't a part of you that even entertained it? I'm just interested as to how that works.
There just wasn't a part that entertained it. I didn't feel guilty. He didn't feel guilty. And I think that if either of us were caught, that would be for him to deal with her and for me to deal with my husband. I just didn't even think about it. It didn't cross my mind.
So over what time scale is all this happening, and how many like, how many guys were you seeing, like, all at different times, all overlapping? I mean, what and how long ago was this? Because life is a little bit different now, Robin, isn't it? So I sort of want to get a flavor, really, of how long that was going on for, and then when you change things a little bit, shall we say.
Yeah, so the affair that I had for 10 years overlapped into my relationship now. And the person that I worked with, it was just a bit before that it ended. And
were there one-offs at the same time? Like, were there multiple people at the same time?
Just them two at the same time.
Okay. So, yeah, how and why did things change? Because bearing in mind as well, you're still married at this point. So bring us up to where things started to pivot again.
So me and my husband split up, and then I moved in with my friends. And then a couple of years later, I met my current partner.
So you left your relationship, you left your marriage.
Yeah.
And I don't doubt it. It sounds like it was very difficult, very, very difficult for both of you. And ultimately, nobody should stay in a relationship if they feel, you know, unhappy. And we haven't got time to unpack all of that, but you know what? They're your reasons. It's your life. Okay. And the fact is you left that relationship. So you moved in with friends, and then you say a couple of years after that, you then met somebody else. During that time, were you still, because actually this time you were single, right? But were you still seeking relationships or one-offs with people who were, so obviously it would be an affair if they were married or were in a committed relationship, but it would just be platonically, you know, hooking up with people if they were single. I mean, what was going on for you there?
So I wanted to be single, so I felt like I'd gone from a relationship to a marriage, and I needed to be single and just be myself for a bit. So I still sought affairs because I wanted people that were in relationships that didn't want to leave their partners, because I didn't want any commitment from them. So I still sought affairs through that period of being single.
And it sounds like it was that complete emotional barrier that you wanted to create. You didn't want to emotionally connect with somebody. You didn't want to take on someone else's emotional baggage.
No, I just wanted to be myself and be with me, and did not want a relationship at all.
So it felt, if what I'm hearing is, it felt safer, less risky, in a sense of not, you know, having a needy partner saying, I want to be with you, if you sought somebody out who was already married, because it would, you knew through experience that they typically won't leave their partner, and it gives you a bit of a get out of jail card free. It's like, I can just have sex with you and I don't have to care what goes on in your life, because I don't want you, and there's a high chance you won't want me because you're already married, correct?
Correct.
Correct. And I can see how affairs happen on that level.
Yeah, and I say that there was no guilt. There wasn't any guilt. There never was, but it was almost like that was less because I was single. So I wasn't doing anything wrong.
I see. So you'd, yeah, I see. So for you, it was it complete vindication for you then? Like, I'm single now, I can do what I want. Whoever I have sex with, it's on them, whatever their relationship status is.
Yes.
Interesting. At any point throughout all of this, did you ever feel a pang of guilt about anything to anyone of anything, including yourself?
No.
Okay, interesting. So 2 years of being single and still seeking out hookups, whatever you want to call it. Was it anything relationshipy, or was it all just kind of more one-offs, just sex as and when you wanted it?
Just more one-offs. And then obviously the long-term, you know, affair was still going on. Right. So that was kind of like a nice steady constant.
And within yourself, would you say you were happy?
Yeah.
Happier than you'd been before in your marriage?
Yes.
Okay. So then things started to change a bit, did they not? Because you met somebody.
I did.
Who was this?
So this is my current partner. We've been together for 16 years.
Wow, I actually didn't know it was that long. And your current partner is a lady.
She is.
And is this something that, had you ever been in a relationship or had sex with a woman before?
I'd had sex with a woman before, but not been in a relationship.
Do you identify as bisexual or pansexual? Yeah. Just, you know, how do you identify? I'm curious.
Pansexual.
So what was it about her? How did you meet her? And was it a surprise that you were attracted to a woman? And how, you say you've been together 16 years now. It hasn't all been plain sailing though, has it?
It hasn't, no. So we met again at work, and we'd been out a few times just as friends. And somebody said, oh, I think she likes you. And I was like, no, she doesn't, because she's super attractive. And I was like, no, don't be daft. And then I got a anonymous Valentine's card. And that's kind of the little things that started. And then we'd gone out again and she told me that she liked me. And I said, oh, let's just go out and see what happens, not knowing that I can't get rid of her.
Said with a dry smile. But were you attracted to her? Because to that point, you hadn't, well, you say you'd had sex with a woman, but were you attracted to this woman? And when you said, okay, let's go out, did you ever think that this would be something you might actually pursue as a relationship? Or like, why this? Why was this one different and not just another hookup?
So I was attracted to her. She's absolutely beautiful. And she's a good person. She's a really kind, caring, nice person. And I didn't see it as long term. I just thought, we'll go out, see how it goes. And she stuck around and I've pushed her and pushed her and pushed her away. And she's still here.
When you say you've pushed her away, what have you done? How's that? How do you mean?
So I cheated on her repeatedly. She found out.
With men, women?
Men, mainly. I opened the relationship, so it was the first time I ever had a conversation where I wanted to open the relationship and say, let's try. I went on a few dates or coffee meetups and she wasn't meeting anyone at all. And
did she agree to that though? Did she agree to trying, you know, a polyamorous relationship?
Yes.
Okay.
And she agreed to it because she didn't want to lose me. So this was something that I didn't realise at the time because I was quite selfish.
But often that happens. And I think, you know, listen, no judgment on either of you, but often when I hear about people that try this, it is fruitless when someone says yes, because, and I get it, because they don't want to lose that partner. And they think the only way of keeping this partner is by, you know, hopefully trying for the best and following in line with what they would like. And I really admire people that try it, but equally it's really important to be so transparent about that. And I'm sure you know that now with hindsight, and for your partner to have gone, do you know what, this scares the shit out of me. It's not something I think I can do, but you know what, I'll try it. I mean, how did you, so she wasn't seeing anybody else. So how did that, does that still happen? Is that still your status or did things change?
No, so things changed. So we were living together and saving to buy a house. And we tried the open relationship and she sat me down and said, look, we need to talk. I can't do this. We're about to buy a house. And if we're going to buy this house, we need to be on the same page. I can't do it. It's eating me up.
That was great that she was. And how did you feel when she was that honest with you?
For the first time ever, I felt awful.
Did you? Interesting. Yeah. Why? What made you feel like that?
She's a good person. And she's not very worldly, so she's quite an innocent soul. And I just thought, I'm going to break her. It's going to be me that breaks her. And she'd always been there when I'd pushed her, when she caught me having an affair. She caught me, you know, talking to other people. She always came back.
Did you feel remorse? Did you ever feel remorse?
I did, yeah. But only, not to begin with, when we just before we bought the house and we sat down, that's when the remorse came in. Because I had this impression that she'd just always come back, because she always did.
But that's the thing, isn't it? You treat others, you teach others how to treat us. And your partner was accepting scraps. She wasn't setting her boundaries. And that's absolutely no way me casting any judgment towards her. It's more that if I was coaching her and if she was sitting in front of me now, I'd say, listen, honey, you're not okay with this, but you need to articulate that, because unless you have effective communication and you tell your partner exactly how you feel and also what parameters that you can have this relationship within, where your boundaries and your standards are. Boundaries are your hard lines, your must-haves, your needs to feel safe and respected in a relationship. And your standards are your would be nice to have. Do you know what I mean? The things that can be a bit more flexible. And this is the thing, you are not unreasonable in wanting an open relationship at all. I know many people that have it. And she is not unreasonable in saying that didn't work for her. The key was in the connection and the compatibility and establishing if what you two had was enough for you both to be flexible and where you could compromise authentically. And so did you get to that point then? Because it sounds like you really cared for her, and I haven't actually heard you speak about anybody until now with genuine affection and emotion in your voice.
Yeah, so I would do anything to keep her safe. So we had the conversation, and I just said, all right, you know, you've done all this for me. You've allowed me to try this. Let me try your way.
And were you happy? Truly, honestly now, you and me now, what were the reasons you were saying that?
Because I didn't want to lose her, and I knew that she was at breaking point, and I felt like I'd broke her. And then it was like, if I don't try this and she goes, then I'm going to kick myself because she's worth keeping hold of. And I did, and it's been, I don't know, 8 years maybe, 6 years that I've been faithful. I've gone through a lot of counselling to find out why I felt this way and why these behaviours occurred. And we've just got a brilliant life now. We've got a house, dogs, holidays, good jobs. So one of the big things that I had to work on was that I was worthy of a good relationship. Because I always thought that I just got what I deserved, and that I just did things because that's what I deserved. And I did a lot of work around being worthy. I still struggle with the lack of guilt, and I still struggle with the lack of remorse, and I don't really have much empathy. So those are things that I still struggle with. But I am better at looking at the bigger picture and saying, no, this is what I want. So this is the life that I want.
But the fact that you can reflect on that those are where you have struggles with tells me that actually they are there, but they show up in different ways for different people. And I think, and you will know, having gone through counselling and with your counsellor, yeah, working on self-worth is very important. And I think a lot of what I've picked up on just in this very short chat that we've had is that disconnect and the compartmentalising that you've talked about with your emotions, which I don't doubt is deep-rooted in various moments of trauma that you have been through. You're in a relationship now with your partner, 16 years. You've stayed, so it's monogamous. So you are in a monogamous relationship. Like, big question here. Like, and please, I hope you feel you can be real with me. Are you content with that? Because you are someone that values non-monogamy. But are you content in a monogamous relationship?
Yes.
Well, thank you, Robin, for sharing for everything. What would you like people to, because you started this episode by saying you were very nervous and you were worried about backlash. How do you feel with that right now, with your nerves and worried about backlash?
I think that people are entitled to their opinion, and whether they understand what I've done or they don't understand, that's their opinion. I think I'm strong enough to be able to accept that and deal with potential backlash should it come.
Okay. What would you like people to take away from your story and to take away around affairs and infidelity? What would you like people to know?
That they happen, that they, you know, it's not all love and people falling for each other. People do it for a variety of reasons, and some of the reasons are just purely sexual.
Which is interesting as well, because the majority of people on my podcast I've spoken to are looking for that emotional connection. But actually, a lot of yours was a sexual connection to soothe, I think, so much space and darkness in your life. So you're absolutely right in that your voice today has been very important to give a different context around affairs. And my final question, Robin, would you have done anything differently?
The only thing that I would have done differently, so I have thought about this. I wish I'd got therapy earlier. So it took me a long time to go to therapy and to accept that help. And I think if I'd gone earlier, I would have understood how my brain works a little better.
Right, right. But you know what? You did go to therapy. And for anybody that comes to that realization, honestly, absolute credit to you. So I just want to say thank you for being so open and honest about your experiences. I've definitely learned a lot. And I can honestly say I have really enjoyed getting to know you today. So thank you, and all the very best for you and your future with your partner.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Affair Podcast. If you've been affected by any of the issues raised in today's episode, please see the show notes for organisations who can offer support and advice. Don't forget to subscribe so you are the first to know when a brand new episode drops. But until then, I'm Anna Williamson, and this has been The Affair. The Affair is hosted by me, Anna Williamson, produced by Naomi Channel, and is a Curve Sounds production.